to prosper. Let's talk about this a moment. I want to teach you a little Hebrew word that only has three letters in it. Sadi, Lemed, and Kach, and it's pronounced with vowels. Saliak, Saliak. And it means probably better to show a good way, to lead on a good path, or to guide well. Okay, then that means to succeed, to prosper is what this Hebrew word means. You will find the Greek equivalent about three times in the New Testament. And basically there it means, as an example, Romans chapter 1 verse 10, where Paul stipulates, pray, and don't forget that, pray that God send me to you that I may share gifts, spiritual gifts that is, so that you may prosper. All other places that it is utilized to prosper is what we use in common sense today, is to gather and save. All right? Gather, and after you gather it, save what you can. That's difficult, but that's simply the common sense approach, but there's a great deal more to those that prosper. So I'm going to use an old example way back in the 24th chapter of Genesis, where our father Abraham, when he was 100 years old, had been given a son by the blessings of God. His wife was 90, that's to say Sarah. And remember, it was time now to choose a wife for that son whose name was Isaac. And they lived in the land of whereby there were only Canaanites around. And Sarah said, my son will not marry a Canaanite woman. Okay, because remember, Satan had attacked Eve to destroy the womb through which Christ would come. And later he would attack the daughters of Adam by sending Nephilim, that is to say fallen angels, to pollute. So certainly when it came time to find a wife for Isaac, this would have been another time that certainly Satan would have been on the prowl. He knows that one of these key points in your life as well, when to attack or when to try to catch you off guard. You still don't have to let him, okay? You're still in control. You've still got the power to put a stop to it. You don't have to put up with it. So turn with me, if you will, and let's just let the Word teach us how to prosper. Let's go to that 24th chapter of Genesis. And Abraham, to do something about this, is sending his number one servant to the land of his forefathers, which would be in what you would call Iraq today, to find kin there, to find a girl specifically, that would be of their same people. And this servant is, you know, it's kind of a heavy thing, so you go find my son a wife. That's a heavy responsibility, all right? A lot of things could go wrong and it could get rough on servant time. Understand what I'm putting legs on this so you understand the pressure that this one was on. Well, he goes out, he gathers in 10 camels and a few pretties, because anytime you go looking for a woman, you want to take some pretties along, all right? It expedites the journey. I jest. But that's what he did, because it is a true statement. If you can't please the lady, friend, you're hunting in the wrong, well, be that as it may. Let's get back to it. So he leaves with the pretties and the camels, and he heads for the land from which they came, whereby hopefully Abraham had brothers and so forth, and this is where he will ultimately end up. So he makes this little promise. How could he prosper his master Abraham? And you can learn a great deal about succeeding from this. Let's pick it up in verse 14 with that foreground having been set forth. And let it come to pass, this man is praying. this servant is praying. Don't ever forget, if you want to prosper, that's the number one thing. Let it come to pass, he prays to our Father, that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master, or you might even say prosperity, his will done. Now, what did he do? Many might say, well, boy, I'll just take up that attitude. All I'll do is just pray and turn it over to God. It wasn't that easy, my friend. This man had left alone through dangerous country. He had walked in the desert land for many, many, many miles. And that's not easy. He had already put forth his effort. Number one, he went to the right area to find what he was sent for. And if you want to prosper, and this applies both spiritually and monetarily, business-wise, that is to say, to make your business a success, first you got to know where to look. And then you got to go there to look, and you got to work very hard at it. So don't you ever for one moment think that this servant just said, I just got to leave it up to God. You choose her, Father. He did his part first, okay? Point made, all right? And verse 15, and it came to pass before he had done speaking, before he even finished, that behold, Rebekah, one of my favorite people, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, that's to say, dwell in El, God, son of Milcah, this is the queen, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. So we see that, bingo, when you leave it in Father's hand, after you've done all that you can do, he provides. He blesses. And I assure you, there might be something negative happen to you. It still will be a blessing. I've witnessed it, my dear ones, over and over and over in my lifetime. Many times we don't quite understand. But stick around, friend. Once you've done all you can do and turn it over to God, you better be ready. You may not like what he gives you, but it will always be best for you in the long run, and that's what's important, okay? So, what is that part then? Faith is to know, the servant knew that God would produce when he had done all he could do. And naturally, what was riding upon this? The seed line through which Christ would come. It's very important. Verse 16, and the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. This was work within itself. And the servant, verse 17, the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. Now remember, he had already committed this to God. 18, and he said, and she said, rather, drink, my Lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink, implying that she was really anxious to help this one out, to give him a drink of water in a dry land. She didn't drag around, is what I'm saying. Vivaciously, this Rebekah came forth. 19, and when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. Now, I'm sure not too many of us have drawn water for camels, but they hold a bunch, okay? She had her work cut out for her, and she didn't back up. That little vivacious thing just keeps going there exactly as he had petitioned God, okay, his perfect answer. And she hasted. and emptied her pitcher into the trough for the animals, and ran again unto the well to draw water. Didn't say she moseyed, she ran. I tell you what, she was quite a girl, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous, or not. Now, don't just read over that, my friend. Did he say, I wonder if my father or master Abraham has made my trip prosperous? I wonder if I have made my trip prosperous? My point is this: God makes your trip prosperous. I wonder if God, Yahweh, the Living One, hath made my trip prosperous. In other words, beloved, that's where prosperity truly comes from. That is your answer. When you have done those things we have discussed, all that you can do, which means to gain the knowledge whereby you know where to look, where to seek, what to do to gain, whether it would be economically or spiritually, you have to be wise in all things and not hold back. Be vivacious in it. Be proud of what you do. Therefore, always do it as well as you can. But then if you're like some of us, a little lanky and awkward, you mess up sometimes. But still be proud of it, all right? You did all right. You done good. You tried. You did your best. And God looks on that as perfect. Just really proud of you. And he's going to prosper you. That is called faith again, my friend. A non-believer would say, oh, pshaw, now come on. You're just giving me that stuff because nobody can really see whether God's going to prosper them or not. Well, I disagree with that. I think you can. I think you can see whether God prospers you or not. I think it's pretty obvious if you stop and think about it. Look at you all. You know who's coming first, the true Christ or the false Christ. Do you realize what that information is worth in this generation? It means the difference in being deceived or being a champion of your people. That's prosperity, my friend, in knowledge, in the Spirit. And your Father loves you, or he would not have opened your eyes whereby you can ascertain those things. That, my friend, is being blessed. And it's real easy for us to overlook, because we're kind of, you know, the flesh. Well, there we were quite happy down in the old building, and things were beginning to pile in, and the ministry was growing, and hey, boxes were moving in behind us, and it kept kind of moving us in, and we got greedy and said, we want a bigger sanctuary. These people out in the television land are just running us out of our own church, and they don't even know it. It's filling up on us. We got to put in these machines and those machines, and so we get greedy and want bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, I think maybe we deserve the building, be that as it may. But what I'm saying is that in the flesh, sometimes we lack more than we need. And I'll guarantee you, the more you mature, the more you realize if you have sufficient, that's plenty. That's just almost quite enough, because anything above that is nothing but worry. And a big worry at that, oft times, if you let it, because it can begin to take priorities of yourself, your soul, away from what you should be. That's not to say anyone ever has to apologize for being rich or anything of that nature. It's wonderful. But at the same time, that's not the most important thing in your life. The fact that you know who you are is very important. It's worth a lot right now. That God has given you peace of mind to know what's happening in this world when many people are confused, very confused. So he had said, I wonder if God, the Lord, hath made his journey prosperous or not. Well, let's see, 22. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring. See, I told you. I told you he'd do it. I told you he had those earrings tucked away there. And a half shekel weight. He's going to impress her, all right? And two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. Hot ziggity. I'll tell you what. Now, she got, that was a good reward, all right? And I'm sure she was happy with it, you know. But knowing Rebecca, I don't know that it would have made that much difference to her. She was just a happy person. She was all right. A true woman of Israel. 23. And said, whose daughter art thou? Question. This is where he's going to find out if he got where he should. Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? Question. And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah. That's the queen. Which the word means queen, rather, the wife of Nahor, which she bare unto Nahor. In other words, she was a granddaughter, all right? 25, she said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. We got a guest room. We've got it all. We're ready for you. I mean, she was a very positive person, and the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. They've been blessed so far. He found who he was looking for. Now, he doesn't have the promise yet that she's going to go back with him. But God's blessing him pretty good. He made it into the house, all right? It was a guest. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And in a way, you have the word salaka, which is to say to be led properly, to be guided. God will guide you. He will take you where he wants you to be, to do what you're supposed to do. At those times in your life, when that benchmark comes, that he touches you, and he calls you to move, to absorb, to gain, to prosper in those things that are really valuable. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. In other words, she shares this news. We're going to have company tonight, set another plate, so on and so forth. And Rebecca had a brother. Here you go. There's always one of these in the family, seems like. And his name was Laban. We won't go into Laban a great deal, and it has nothing to do with this story, but watch him a little bit. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. He saw the bracelets, okay? I mean, it was working. It was working. Laban, of all people, liked pretty things, all right? He liked things nice. Any way to get ahead, all right? Within reason, I suppose I should say. And it came to pass when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he got all 10 of them. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. In other words, I'm going to take real good care of you because you're a heavy tipper. You know, I know Laban, all right? That's what he was thinking, all right? And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camel. And we do have strange camels here in this desert, and gave straw and provender for the camels and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, now listen to this, how to prosper. I mean, he's hungry. His old tummy is just really, I mean, it's crying out to him, feed me, else I die. And it's set before him. The aroma is just, I mean, it just gets you right there. It makes the taste buds start watering. But what does he have his mind on? Prosperity. That's to accomplish what you came for. Okay? What did he do? And he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. And he has become great. And he hath given his flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he hath. In other words, this man that I'm talking to you about owns it. He's got the whole thing. It's all his. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure, the woman will not follow me. What am I going to do? See, now this was pressure on him. What am I going to do if she won't come, if I can't find someone? And he said unto me, the Lord, did he say myself or you? No. The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee. Now you wake up for me. Will send his angel with thee and prosper. And what? And prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Beloved, don't you ever overlook the fact from whom all blessings flow. And don't you ever say, I'm all alone. If you're on a mission, you're not alone. That also, my friend, is faith, to know that presence that cannot be seen with these human eyes, but can be seen with the spiritual eye. He sent the angel of God to do what? To prosper him, to make sure he took the right path. And there are times when you pray about something that you're going to get to that intersection. There's a fork in the road in your life. Oh, man. Whew, let's see. Do we? Let me think about it a minute. No. You know, and around and around you go. And if you just find you a little shady spot and lower it down, sit there and say, Lord, I'm confused. And he'll say to you, so what's new? Okay. So, and you're going to say, help me. Help me to decide. I've done all I can do. And hear my words. I have done all I can do to decide. And I need your help. That's called committing it to him. And that's why that Rebecca appeared. That's why she walked out of that house just like that when he was praying with that pitcher for water. You got to believe that if you want to prosper. Very much a part of it. He will help you. That's what this word means, to guide you on the right paths. Okay? To guide you on the right paths. He will do that. That little angel will just talk to you sometimes back here and say, you know better than that. Right, gee-haw, you know, okay? Helps you out a lot. Verse 41, then shalt thou be clear from this my oath when thou comest to my kindred, if they give not thee one. Thou shalt be clear from my oath. In other words, what does that show in Abraham? Now, don't read over that. It's so easy to read over real in-depth emotional truth. It means that Abraham has faith in the angel of God. To know that after the angel leads him and guides him, that takes him where he wants to go, if it doesn't work then, it's not supposed to be. Do you understand? In other words, Abraham trusted and had enough faith in God to know if the answer was no, leave it alone. Back away from it. And releasing, therefore, the servant. 42. Listen closely. And I came this day unto the well, and I said, he's explaining, okay? And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God,